For All Saints Sunday, the first lesson is taken from Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you once again in the eternal name of Jesus Christ this morning. Well, as we know, today is All Saints Sunday. Now, most of the time when we hear the word saint, or we talk about saints, don't we tend to have this idea of, you know, celestial dwellers, maybe wearing white robes, you know, maybe riding around on a cloud, maybe singing in heaven, maybe something like the picture in our graphic this morning? Have you ever Googled the word saint in your Google search? What do you think the first page is that comes up from your Google search? New Orleans Saints, right, football team, right? Not exactly the saints that we're looking for today. I would say that usually when we think about saints, we tend to think of people who are very good, right? And that people who have gone on to heaven to be with Jesus, right? You know, it was about 1,400 years ago that the church decided that it would celebrate and set aside a day to celebrate or commemorate those that were steadfast believers in Christ, who faced back then horrendous persecution and horrendous opposition for just because of their faith. Now, that goes on today in some countries, too. Not in our country, thank the Lord. But, you know, we do thank them. We thank those saints that did all of that, that had that faith and devotion to God's Word, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, they helped the Christian church grow in all of the years that it's been since Jesus was on this earth. Now, if you were raised in the Roman Catholic tradition, and I know some of you were, you probably were used to praying to this or that patron saint for whatever was on your heart that day. You know, because the Roman Catholic Church recognizes some 10,000 specific saints that are available to listen to your prayers, as they say. Now, the Catholic Church would say, well, we don't worship saints, but we do venerate them or honor them, and we ask them to intercede for us in our prayers. Of course, we Lutherans do not do that. We don't confer sainthood on just a select few of exemplary individuals, nor do we believe that there's anyone standing between us and our God, the intercessor Jesus, who intercesses for us with the Father. My point is that when we talk about saints, don't we have this kind of otherworldly idea about what saints are, them being in heaven, and we don't really see a connection with us here still on this earth. But I want us today to think about and to understand that saints are everyone who has been given faith to believe in Jesus and has been forgiven of their sins. In other words, we are saints too. Because all believers are part of the family of God, like I told the children here. You and me, both the living and the departed. As we heard from our second lesson today from John's first letter in chapter 3, he said, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. You know, yesterday, if any of you were here, we had a memorial service for one of Epiphany's saints. His name was Jim Bernard. Why do I call him a saint? Well, it wasn't because he was just this such good man, although he was a good man. It's not because now he's with Jesus in heaven, although that's where he is. He is a saint because he fervently believed in Jesus as his Savior and believed that through Jesus his sins were forgiven so that he could enter into heaven, which is where he is right now. As I told people yesterday, Jim wore his faith on his sleeve. You didn't have to guess about Jim's faith. He was glad to sit down with you and tell you all about it. And Jim was one of those good examples that we have about how to live our lives under the direction of Jesus' teachings. But typically, when we think about saints, we don't really think about those people around us, maybe even in our family. Or we don't even think of ourselves as saints, do we? You know, there are commonalities that we have with saints, either whether they're living or they're passed on. One commonality is that we're all human beings, and that means we're all flawed. We all sin. I mean, think of any saint that you can. Maybe St. Paul. St. Paul, right? St. Paul persecuted Christians. How about St. Peter? St. Peter denied he even knew Jesus three times. Well, if you want to go a little bit further back, how about Moses? Moses killed an Egyptian. How about David? David had committed adultery and had her husband killed just to cover it up. We are all flawed. You name a person in history that you consider a saint, and you'll find flaws and sins. We're all the same in the eyes of God. We all need forgiveness of our sins. But if we have faith to believe that Jesus will forgive us of those sins, we're all part of God's family. And therefore, we're all saints, because saint means to be set apart for God's purposes. That's what we are. The difference is that some of our family members are in another place. They're in heaven. And so they can't come back to us, can they? And so we wait to go be with them, right? It's kind of like if you had some relatives from up north and they wanted to come down here for a vacation, and so they rented a big beach house on St. George down there. And they said, come down and join us. Well, we couldn't wait to finish whatever it is that we're doing so we can go down there and join them, right? Except this vacation is like a billion times better than anything we can imagine. You know, those relatives in the family of Christ that we talk about as gone on without us, or before us, I should say, they're the ones that we read about in our lesson today, our first lesson from Revelation 7. They are the ones who are dressed in the white robes and before the throne of God. They are the ones, it says, that, and he, God, who sits on the throne, will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know what? We're all going to be in that scene one day, aren't we? As long as we have faith in Jesus. But until then, they wait for us to join them. It's kind of like the writer of Hebrews mentioned in chapter 12. When he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Who are that great cloud of witnesses? They're the saints whose faith and witness should be a constant encouragement to us in this life. They have struggled on this earth. They have run the race before us, and yet they remain strong, and they finished the race. They finished and remained faithful to Jesus to the very end. They are the saints that are mentioned in chapter 11, the one before this of Ephesians, chapter 11, saints like Abel, saints like Abraham and Joseph and David and the prophets. But you got to understand that it's not just the biblical saints that are encouraging us. There are saints in our lives that we knew or maybe even still know, who have been here to encourage us too. Someone once said, you know, the people in heaven, can they see us? Can they talk to us? Well, I don't know about the seeing part. I mean, I won't know that until I get to heaven. I mean, you know, in the Hebrew words, talks about a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And that it kind of implies that they may be able to see our struggles here on this earth. I don't know that for sure. However, I do know that they talk to us. They talk to us in their witness to us from their own lives. Certainly those mentioned in Holy Scripture, the biblical saints, who have given us examples in their lives, who have written to us, to teach us lessons about how we should live, they encourage us. They talk to us through the Bible, through Holy Scripture. But it's not, again, it's not just biblical saints. There are saints that we knew. There are saints that we grew up with who talk to us through their witness of their lives, or we remember their words, we remember their lives and what they did. Maybe it's a grandfather, maybe it's a grandmother, maybe it's an uncle or a friend or a teacher or a coach or a pastor. Anyone who exemplified Jesus and exemplified the right living that God wants us to do can influence us in our own lives. They speak to us and they encourage us not to give up the fight. They are the saints who encourage us to focus on Jesus and the running of our individual races. But there are saints all around us today if we just look for them, if we just realize who they are. When we have faith to believe in Jesus and we become children of God, we want to express our love for Him, don't we? And we can do that by working for Him in this kingdom right here, right now. And we should never forget that we're not alone here. We have saints encouraging us. We're not the first ones to ever do what we do and face the problems that we face in this life that we have to deal with every day. Jesus gave us His Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us through this life. The Holy Spirit gives us the words to say to people outside these walls who may be perishing so that they too can become children of God. The Holy Spirit shows us where to receive Holy Communion, the spiritual nourishment that we need to remain true to our faith and to our inheritance. Now, speaking of Holy Communion, we're not alone because we're part of the communion of saints. You remember that? In our Apostles' Creed that we say on some Sundays, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. You remember that? It means that we're not alone. We're part of the Holy Church of God, and that we're part of the communion or community of saints. All believers alive today are part of Christ's body on this earth, and we're doing the things that Jesus wants us to do as part of His great commission. We have a common mission. We have a common belief. We have a common interest in providing mutual benefit to each other. And even though parts of our family here, the family of God, are separated by this great chasm, the present saints, us, are one with the past saints. The saints who have finished the race and have gone on to heaven. We call them the church triumphant, because they have triumphed. They have finished the race, and now they enjoy all that God had in store for them forever. Those of us who are still here on this earth, we're called the church militant. Why militant? Because we're still fighting the good fight. We're like soldiers, and like soldiers, we have to be taught how to fight. Well, in our gospel lesson today from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins His teaching to us, known as the Sermon on the Mount. In the verses we have for this morning, He was teaching what we call the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes. Now, I want you to notice when you read the Beatitudes that he wants us to model these ideals in our Christian life. But notice that they're contrary to the way the world would teach us these same values. I mean, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." What? The world would say, "You need to be rich in spirit." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Blessed are those who mourn. What? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when people insult you because of me. The world would teach us those ideas are all wrong. That's not the way to make it through life. That's not the way to get ahead. But you have to remember, Jesus is not teaching us the world's way of doing things. He's teaching us God's way of doing things. The Holy Spirit tells us how we can be peacemakers. The Holy Spirit tells us how we can be merciful or how we can be pure in heart. You know, learning God's ways will help us not only in this life, but in the life to come. Jesus said, if you live by these ideals, he said, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, we're in a battle. We're in a battle against the world's rulers and against spiritual powers, as Paul reminded us in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are soldiers in that struggle. We are the church militant. And while we're on this earth, we should want to exemplify the Christian life, so that all who hear our witness, and even beyond that, all who see how we live out the teachings of Jesus, so that they are influenced by us too. In that way, a saint is not gone and forgotten when they die. They continue to live in the hearts and in the minds of those who have witnessed their life. They continue to live on in the hearts and minds of those who are left to fight the good fight after we're gone to the church triumphant. And so today, we thankfully remember those saints who have run the race, who have fought the good fight, and who have gone on into the church triumphant. But today we also think about those present day saints who are continuing the fight. And so, friends and fellow believers, let us all aspire to become the best saints that we can become, listening to Jesus and leaving a legacy of faith and love and devotion for those who we will leave behind. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the faithful saints who have come before us and who have advanced your kingdom's work on this earth. Let us use their example to also advance your kingdom. Bless what we do, that is according to your perfect will. And we bless you so that one day we will be united with them forever in your heavenly realm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.